The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. This episode is brought to you by Let's Learn About Chemistry by Dr. Stephanie Ryan. The solution to the issue. You know the issue about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. The issue is not enough inclusivity. Dr. Stephanie Ryan, children's author and public speaker, has a solution to the issue, and it's STEMI. STEMI. Science, technology, engineering, math, and inclusivity. This holiday season, put the I in STEMI. Give a STEMI, science inclusive children's book by Dr. Ryan. All the children in your life will love it and feel included. Order a copy from your local bookstore, Amazon, or Itasca Books today. Use the promo code STEMI to get $5 off your copy of Let's Learn About Chemistry if ordered through the Itasca Book website. Promo code STEMI. STEMI. Hi everyone, Renee Powers here. I'm going to revisit a blog post I wrote last summer. This was called Notes from the Founder, Why I Don't Call Myself an Ally, and I posted it initially on July 13th of 2020. I think that now that we are looking 2022 straight in the face, we need to revisit a lot of these commitments we made in the summer of 2020, especially around anti-racism, intersectionality, and social justice. So I revisited my own blog post. I want to read it with you, and I want to challenge you to put some of these things into practice. Think about the ways that we can wield our privilege for good and how we might bring those kinds of values into our new year. So here is what I wrote July 13th, 2020. As the founder of Feminist Book Club, I spent a lot of my time thinking about and grappling with my privilege and my responsibility to the intersectional feminist movement. I am a white, cisgender, middle-class, able-bodied, English-speaking, educated woman, business owner, and leader. Trust me when I say that I consider my positionality and privilege in every decision I make for this company. How can I wield it for good? Here are some of the ways I've chosen to decenter my own identities in business decisions. Note here from 2021, Renee, some of these things have changed, but here is the list as of 2020. Our books are chosen by our members through nominations and ranked voting. This way, I'm not some omnipotent leader who consciously or unconsciously selects stories that reflect my own. When publishers and publicists pitch an author or book to me, I let them know if they have any debut women of color on their rosters, we would happily feature them on our platforms. I select our monthly themes based on a combination of members' suggestions and holes in our reading history, such as trans authors, Native American Indigenous authors, and authors living with a disability. I don't have employees yet, but I do work with independent contractors. When seeking a new contractor, I consider their identities and what that could bring to the table. So far, that has meant working with queer interns who create awesome LGBTQ content, a Black podcast editor who has called me into conversations about the language I use, as have a number of podcast listeners, thank you, blog contributors who can write their own voices, reviews of books, and provide nuanced overviews of intersectionality and much more. This list is not complete. It's not all that Feminist Book Club does in service of inclusivity. And if I were to list out everything we do, it still wouldn't be enough. We are all works in progress. Despite my personal and professional work towards social justice, I don't call myself an ally. Ally isn't a label or an identity that I can wear like a literal badge of honor. Ally isn't a checklist of characteristics that I either have or don't have. Ally is a verb. It's something we must opt into with every decision, something we must actively pursue with courage and audacity. There are countless moments every day where we could make better, more inclusive, more anti-racist, more feminist decisions. We have to learn to recognize those opportunities and then act on them. And they won't always be the easiest choices. In fact, they'll likely require more effort, more capital, and more time. And yet, isn't that worth it? Isn't a little extra effort worth helping another human feel fully human? That extra dollar or two, that extra 15 minutes, that extra email introduction, isn't that worth letting someone know you matter? I hope one day these small acts of honoring the inherent dignity of everyone, particularly folks on the margins, won't be seen as radical, but ordinary. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Today's episode is sponsored by the Feminist Book Club Holiday Gift Guide. We are making it easy to shop your values this holiday season with our beautifully designed, clickable PDF featuring over 50 feminist businesses. Knock out your holiday shipping in one fell swoop because this guide has something for everyone on your list, from the youngest budding feminist to your favorite elders. Shop small and, more important, shop your values this holiday season. Go to feministbookclub.com/holiday to download the guide and make the season bright.
Greetings, friends. I'm your grateful host, Mariquita Guerrera. I was first introduced to the author Sayaka Murata via her book Earthlings, which is an absolute wild ride, and not for the squeamish or the sensitive. Earthlings contains copious instances of violence and instances of sexual predation and assault, but offering those content warnings cannot possibly cover the perplexing turns the book takes. It is engaging and unusual, and I still am open to getting into an argument about what really happens at the close of that book. However, Earthlings is not what brought me here today, though you'd be forgiven for making that assumption since heretofore that is all I have discussed. I just want you to understand that I came to Convenience Store Woman, the book I do want to talk about, Murata's English language debut novel, with that foundation and not, say, the other way around. If you read and were turned off by Earthlings, but enjoyed Murata's unique perspective, you can rest assured that Convenience Store Woman does not involve such challenging narrative pieces. It does, however, touch on many of the same topics, which is to say that it explores the burdens and expectations of society from an outside lens and with a baffled perspective. Convenience Store Woman follows Kiko, a convenience store employee, as you may have surmised. Kiko is a single woman in her 30s with no strong ambition or drive to become more successful, more wealthy, married, or a mother. Kiko is constantly reflecting on the ways she is different and examines how to act in order to better blend in with her peers and friends, even imitating patterns of speech. She's aware that she's not the same as them. Her thoughts and motivations do not align with theirs at all. But she's also aware of the need to masquerade as though she feels the same things that they do, thinks the same things, wants the same things. Kiko is entirely content working at the convenience store and sees herself a part of it, even on a molecular level. Everything she eats and drinks comes from the convenience store. The way she structures her days, when she goes to bed, it's all in service of the convenience store. Although Kiko is fulfilled by this work, her family and friends find her acceptance of it kind of an aberration, and look for an excuse as to why she's not seeking a husband or looking for more challenging employment or career. Kiko makes an alliance with another one of her coworkers, Shiraha. Honestly, he seems like a men's rights activist. Really. Not my type, but they have a deal that they feel will help satisfy the curiosity and the meddling of those around them. They decide to get married. Their plan is a stunning success at first. It does seem to make everyone around them happy and gives them both more independence and agency around their own lives. But then Shiraha begins to exhibit controlling behavior, mimicking the expectations of the greater society, and Kiko quits her job at the convenience store. Such a move unmoors her and casts her into existential crisis, a crisis which only resolves when she once more finds herself in a convenience store and hears the store talking to her, telling her what it needs, in opposition to the way the rest of the world bewilders her. Convenience Store Woman is a wonderful exploration of capitalism, expectation, and difference. The community of people around Kiko seem unsatisfied with the idea that she would be happy and even fulfilled by a so-called dead-end job, and it's unclear whether we, as the reader, should take that perspective as well. Murata said that she wanted to show how strange the world looks when you switch the lens. And she does an exemplary job of it, and in so doing, creates space in literature for more neurodiverse narrators and protagonists who don't have to hold the role of sidekick, friend, person to be fixed, obstacle in the way, villain. Not only that, though, she provides a space for readers and authors who have not previously seen themselves represented, which is itself invaluable. If you read Earthlings and found it too far out, even if you loved Earthlings but haven't yet explored Murata's other English language book, you should pick up Convenience Store One. More of a novella, really, than a novel. It's quick but absorbing read. If you haven't had a chance to find your way to either book, I think Convenience Store Woman is a great place to start. Murata is doing amazing things in the world of literature and is well worth a read. As always, the link to both of these books will be in the show notes. Until next time, friends, please take a little time for yourselves. The end of the year can be extraordinarily busy and stressful. It can be joyful or it can be lonely. Be kind to yourself. Take space and time for yourself. If you're looking for me online, you can find me on Instagram at @O_Murray. I hang out there even when I don't post because our brains are primed to scroll and mine is not exempt from that. All the best. I'll catch you later.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.